No fooling here on the Dave's Gone By radio program of the air. This is your old pal, Rabbi Saul Solomon, the founder and spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. I love talking music, and I love talking to this man that we have on the telephone with us. His name is Tom Toce, T-O-C-E. He's a songwriter. He was here about 3 or 4 years ago pushing his previous album. Now he's got a brand new record that he himself sings on. You just heard his voice. It's called, the new album is called Songwriter in the House, and we have in our own buy it on the telephone, Tom Toce. How you doing, Tom?
Rabbi Saul, I'm doing great, and it's wonderful to be back.
Well, thank you. So how have you been in the past 3.5 years?
that's a wide span, but I would say, all in all, generally pretty good. I think I'm probably happier than I've ever been in my life.
Oh, mit Mazel. How's your prostate?
it's fine. Hasn't acted up.
That's the important thing. That's more important than anything. Marriage, children, doesn't matter. Why are you happier now than you have ever been in your life?
I recently had a big birthday last year. I turned 60.
Mid-mazel.
And, you know, you get to a certain point where, you know, all the struggles of when you're 20, when you're 30, when you're 40, there are a lot of struggles. I feel as if a lot of the struggles, they've either been lost or won, and now I'm really just committed to enjoying myself without putting unhappy obstacles in my way.
And that has made the have you found things fall away and life does get easier if you do that without worrying so much?
I think so. I think you're the expert on religion, not me.
But well,
it may be kind of a Zen Buddhist kind of letting go thing. I don't know.
I'm not a Buddhist. I'm a Judist, and I don't let go of anything. I still have clothing I wore when I was 14, but until it actually tears, I'm still gonna wear it because that's the kind of guy I am. Let me tell you. So, what this new album of yours feels different from the previous one that you had. That one was called Hopelessly in Love, and you had other people singing your songs, but they were more in sort of a cabaret-ish, theater-ish, nightclub-y vein. And this is more folky country. Do you agree with this? And what zone were you in creating the songs for this new album?
Right. It's exactly right. And it's the two different parts of my musical personality. All my life, I have loved theater and cabaret, and in that realm, I'm usually writing songs for other people because I don't have a kind of cabaret voice, and I don't aspire to be a performer on the stage. So I'm writing songs for other people, and usually I'm writing with other composers. The music there is a little different. It's harmonically maybe more sophisticated. I don't know. Labels are hard to attach, but that's the cabaret musical theater side of my personality. But the other side of my personality is I was a child of the 60s and the 70s, and I grew up listening to Simon and Garfunkel, and they're Jews, by the way, and
yes.
Joni Mitchell.
What? She's
Joni
not.
Joni Mitchell, who's not?
I mean, Bob serious Dylan chicks are there, yeah. I'm sorry, I said, yeah.
And the Beatles, and you know, so that's the music.
Also not Jewish. I'm sorry, if you name people, I'm going to say whether they're Jewish or not. Yes. Continue.
And so I've also always been playing and loving that style of music, and I've been writing songs in that genre too. Those songs, by and large, are not ones that are going to be covered by other people. They're songs. I decided a year or two ago that if the world was going to hear these songs, I really had to get out and perform them myself.
Well, let me ask you one person that I. Or Dave, the producer of this program, he heard your album, and the first name that really came to mind was Tom Paxton. I don't know if you're that familiar with him or if he influenced you at all, but I mean, really, especially with the turns of phrase and the comical songwriting and the folkiness of it, that's the first person that sprang to his mind. Is that there, or is that just him kind of extrapolating?
No, I think that Tom Paxton is definitely one of the songwriters that I love and that I would be flattered to be compared to. Another might be John Prine.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah, he's got a new album coming out, and there's a story about him in Rolling Stone a couple of weeks ago that you might want to check out. He's a very interesting character, if I do say so myself. In fact, I just did say so myself. So...
One of the features of this album and my songwriting in general is that there's usually some element of humor or wryness or some ironic turn of phrase or something. I'm not a heartfelt, emotive singer singing, you know, overly sincere songs about whatever. I mean, my songs are serious, but there's always a humorous element to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I write songs, and I have written occasionally for my one-man show, and other times I've written songs, and I try for rye, and I wind up with pumpernickel. Oh, good. I got a laugh. Was worried that one wouldn't, but I did. I'm good. That's very good. Let me ask you some other things. Like, last time we talked, and people can go back and listen to the archives to hear about your earlier life, but you were a two-time champion on the Jeopardy television program. Do you still watch Jeopardy?
All the time. I'd even say religiously.
Oh, my goodness. So, can you ever go back on?
No, because I didn't win enough games. If you win 4 games, I think is the threshold, then you might be asked to participate in the various tournaments that they have. So I'm a kind of a mid-level champion, and there's no more opportunities on Jeopardy for me, unfortunately.
Oh, what about Name That Tune? Is that still on there? No.
I was on another quiz show, if I'm permitted to name a rival radio station. I was on an NPR show called...
Wait, you were on... Wait, don't tell me? No, which?
No. Ask Me Another.
Hmm. I do not know that one. So, how did you do?
Not very well. I got through the first round, but I got dinged on one of my weak categories, which was music of the late 70s or music of the 1980s. That's not my area where I was listening to a lot of pop music. So I missed on a question about Joan Jett. Do you know who Joan Jett is, Rabbi?
I know who she is. She is a very nice lesbian singer-songwriter. I don't recall much of the... was she Hit Me With Your Best Shot?
See, you got me. I don't think so, but...
Oh, maybe she wasn't.
Neither one of us could get past the first round, Rabbi.
Oh, certainly. So let me ask you, how much of current popular music do you listen? Do you ever listen to the Top 40? Do you ever follow Kendrick Lamar and Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars and all of that?
I have listened to them. I don't listen to them very much. I like Bruno Mars. I like some songs that I've heard of by Taylor Swift. But, you know, there's so much music out there, I tend to be listening around the edges.
Okay. So what edges have you been listening to recently? Who are people that we might not know that you're saying, oh, these guys are good, you should check them out?
Okay. I discovered a bluegrass singer-songwriter named Sierra Hull. She's not unknown. She was nominated for a Grammy Award this year, but she's about 25 years old, and she's been performing since she was 15 years old, so she's got a long career. She's a protege of Alison Krauss, who's another favorite of mine.
Very important question, though. She's 25 years old. Sierra Hull is her name?
Sierra Hull, H-U-L-L.
Is she hot?
she makes a very nice stage presentation.
Okay. She has a good personality, is what you're saying. All right, that's good. Good to know. Who else? Who else are you listening to?
Oh, boy.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. I'm not asking you to name that tune. I'm asking you to name that tune, Smith.
I've been listening to the Hamilton soundtrack a lot.
Ah, now the remix or the actual soundtrack, or
both.
You make a terrible, terrible error there. If our friend of the neighborhood, Peter Felicia, were in the studio, he would be pulling his hair out and screaming. You called it what?
Hamilton.
Yes, the what of Hamilton?
Oh, I said the soundtrack. What? I'm sorry, the cast album.
That's it, the original cast recording. It's not a soundtrack unless it's a movie. What's the matter with you? Shame on you. Shame. Ashande.
Well, you know, I said I may even have said that I was listening to the record or the recording of it. I don't know that that's true. I've been listening to something that gets streamed through my computer.
That's fair enough. And you're tracking the sound of it. So maybe you could call it a soundtrack. I'll give you that. I want to talk a bit more to you, but why don't we have another couple of songs that we brought in from your new album, which is called Songwriter in the House. So let me give you the options. We got Better Than Rock and Roll, Our Fair City, and Welcome to Another Day.
Well, let's listen to Our Fair City.
Our Fair City. This is the New York one. This was it's a little dark, ladies and gentlemen, a little satirical, but that's what we do here on the Dave Scumby radio program of the air with me, Rabbi Saul Solomon, talking to him, Tom Tose, talking to you all listening to Our Fair City.
And there's fallout all over Times Square.
Well, we are all falling out over ourselves with amusement over that song, Our Fair City, from our guest in the neighborhood, Tom Tose, and his new album, Songwriter in the House, which you can get from CD Baby, cdbaby.com. There's also a link to that website from Mr. Tose's own website, which is tomtosemusic.com. Remember, that's T-O-C-E, tomtosemusic.com. And that is, of course, Tom singing his own songs in his own voice. But you've been covered by... Who are some of the other artists that have covered your work?
Well, let's say most of them are cabaret artists like Andrea Markovici, Tova Feldshu, and some Maud Maggart has sung a song of mine, Jane Monheit, singers like that.
Have they put them on albums of their own? Because I know you have the compilation album of the previous album was people like that singing your songs. Have you been ever put on a Streisand album, let's say, or an album by Peebo Bryson or something like that?
Not a Streisand album. Not a Beyonce album. I haven't hit the big time. Andrea Markovici is probably the best known singer who's put my songs on her own albums, and she's done that a number of times.
Oh, that's marvelous. So. Here's a weird question, because, you know, I'm Jewish, I think about money. Do you get money for that?
You get a very little bit of money, and that's a big topic among songwriters these days. You know, the world is really trying to work out how to pay songwriters, and there's the model for recorded music has changed. You know, once upon a time it was 78s, then it was LPs, then it was cassettes, then it was CDs. And now it's downloads, I guess, and there are so many ways that music gets piped in to people's homes virtually for free, and it's difficult for performers to make money through recorded music. It's even harder for songwriters to do it. So it's tough. It's very tough. I mean, CD sales are way down all over the country, and you know, even if you have a song on a big-selling CD, the compensation that a songwriter gets is on the order of 5 cents to 10 cents a song when you sell a CD. So you got to sell an awful lot of them in order to make money as a songwriter.
And is there any kind of upfront thing for the permission to use the song in the first place, or no? It's just that you give permission. They put the song on, and only if you sell albums do you get 5 cents a pop.
Well, you know, there's a few different mechanisms for paying songwriters. But what I described about CD sales is known in the trade as mechanical. So mechanical royalties are fees that are paid through sales of units of CDs or sheet music. The other kinds of royalties that songwriters get are performance royalties, and that's what ASCAP and BMI are known for. They collect royalties from radio stations. I mean, you pay fees. Your radio station pays fees to ASCAP and BMI in order to use their songs, and so do TV stations. So does my understanding is, so does every bar and tavern and restaurant in the country pay an annual fee to ASCAP and BMI in order to use the music that is either performed live or even played on recordings in.
Now, see, I got this totally. I always thought ASCAP was something you put in to stop your diarrhea, but that's comedy right there. Here on the Dave Scott Radio Show, we're talking with Tom Tose about the life of a songwriter. And you were mentioning when we were talking while the music was playing that when you were younger, as we tend to be, you were more competitive. You wanted to be the one to get the song on Broadway or in the show or on an album. And it was always, you know, you had to be competitive against other songwriters who were trying to do the exact same thing and feed themselves. And you're less so now? Is this more of the Buddhism thing?
Yeah, probably. Or just the aging thing. You know, when you're younger, and I've been in writers' workshops, and writers' workshops, not all of them, but writers' workshops can be kind of brutal places, because when you're in a writing workshop, whether it's a songwriting workshop or probably fiction or any kind of workshop with other writers, they may seem to be there to help you, but they're not. Nobody else in the class really has any stake in your success. And so sometimes you get ripped to shreds in workshops by your peers, who are your friends in some ways, but they're also your competitors. And I've been in a lot of those kind of workshops, and I don't care for them at this stage of my life or my career.
And so you've actually taken matters into your own hands. Hint, hint, hint. At the
sure,
Metropolitan Room, hint, 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 yeah.
Because I love songwriters, and nothing makes me feel so alive as talking about songs, playing songs, working on songs.
Really? You should try sex.
All right, I'll write
that
down.
At least on Fridays, yeah.
Maybe I'll write that into a song. But, you know, this radio interview right now, I come alive talking about it. It's a highlight of my day just to talk with you about songwriting.
Well, but I'm sorry to interrupt you, though, also about there's a thing that you do at the Metropolitan Room, which is a cabaret nightclub in Manhattan that is dedicated to songwriters, but you're trying to take out the competition and venality of it. Explain.
Yes. I was asked to start a songwriter group at the Metropolitan Room, where I have done a lot of shows and where I know the management and ownership. And so I started a group called the New York Songwriters Alliance. We've been meeting for almost a year, twice a month. And it is a group of maybe 10 to 20 people, many of whom come regularly. And, you know, some come when they can.
See, at least they're getting sex.
We know that.
Yes. Sorry, a little joke there. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. What's your question?
No, you don't want to know. Keep going. Yes.
We meet and we talk shop. Sometimes we play songs, but we don't play songs with a competitive edge of everybody telling them, you know, telling the person what they would do instead of what you did. It's more about appreciating other people's work and appreciating other people's struggles. Like I said before about the money thing, you know, especially the cabaret world in New York is a small world. A lot of the worlds that I inhabit as a songwriter are small world. There's a lot of wonderful songwriters out there, and but they haven't hit the big time, and they're struggling to get performances, to write more songs, to find a reason to keep going, to find inspiration. So that's what the group is all about. It's an alliance of like-minded people trying to offer one another whatever help we can.
Now, let me ask you, since you love talking about, well, I love talking about the money, so let's go back to that. How you are a full-time musician, yes?
No.
Oh, what do you do? Remind me, what's your other thing?
Because I need money far too much for that. No, my songwriting, I have made some money. Some of my children's shows have made some money back a few years ago. But, you know, year to year, I don't make that much as a songwriter. I work as an actuary. Do you know what that is?
Is that like wills and stuff? Law?
It's the easiest way to describe it is as an insurance financial professional. I don't work in life insurance. I work more in property and casualty insurance and helping companies estimate what the costs of doing their business is. That's probably the shortest way to say it. And I don't know that your listeners would want to go deep into this topic, but I'm happy to answer as many questions as as you want.
No, none. None, absolutely. I mean, maybe off mic, there are things I would love to know. You know, if I have $7 in the bank, how do I invest it so that I get $10 in 30 years? This I would like to know. Yeah but no. Okay. Yeah, actuarial, no. I don't think. Let me ask you another question, though, Tom Toes, because I overheard earlier in the program, I'm sure you were listening to the program earlier too, when Dave, the host, was bantering with his lovely wife, Joyce, and they were talking about connections and about how, you know, if you went to Columbia University, you had these connections and et cetera and so forth, and it helped you all along the way, and there were mentors and things like that. You went to Ivy League. You went to Yale. So did you feel that Yale gave you a leg up, not just when you were there, but in alumni, sir, in the years past, has Yale helped?
Well, it's funny. Yale jumped several years. They helped a lot when I was in school and the year after I got out of college, and then not too terribly much for the next 25 or 30 years. And then over the last couple of years, I've been playing the Yale card a lot more, and I've been involved in a lot more Yale activity. So I would say there was a gap there of way too many years when maybe I could have used some help or could have done some things to help myself by playing up the connection. So yes and no is my answer.
Let me ask you, Tom Toes, and you can tell me, because it's just us. Nobody's listening. What is the Skull and Bone Society?
I don't know. I was never...
Oh, bullshit! You must know. Come on.
It's a secret society at Yale.
You must have... Were you ever approached? Did you ever see a handshake? Did you ever... Anything about it?
You know... I think even if I had been, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I'm telling you that I was not.
Ah, oh well. Oh,
sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, do not be sorry about the fine and fun music that you are making these days. Are you writing more new songs, or are you still in that country folk comedy vein? Are you moving back into the cabaret-ish vein? What are you working on now?
Always doing both. I'm working on an adaptation of a novel that I'd rather not give the name away to just right now. I will say that I'm also working on a musical based on a series of 19th century novels by Anthony Trollope called the Palliser series. So those two things are keeping me busy in the musical theater world. In the other world, the folky world, I don't know. I have to see kind of where this album takes me. These songs were written over, you know, really my whole life. Oh. And I don't know that, I don't know whether I've got the next one coming out. I don't know whether I write songs fast enough to be able to have another one of those. But they're fun. It's fun to do. So it could be. I'm always doing both things.
Well, let me ask you about this new album, Songwriter in the House. It's like, you put it out, it's a lovely, you know, it's like an old-fashioned CD. It's not just digital. You get a physical CD. It's very nice. And you have it on CD Baby. You have it on your website. You go on my or Dave's little program here at... what else are you doing? What else can someone in your position do to promote a new record album in this day and age? It's not going to get on Z100, you know. It's not going to... maybe it could get on where you are, WFUV, or a place like that. What do you do?
Well, that's a good question, and it could be that I did this backwards. The concept for the album is really a cast album of a live show that I did. I did a show at the Metropolitan Room a year ago, a little over a year ago, and I did, I don't know, six or seven performances of these songs and a couple of other covers besides. And it was a live, I mean, it was cabaret because it took place in a cabaret venue. But as you pointed out, the genre of the music isn't exactly what you associate with cabaret singing. So it was a little bit of maybe a misfit there. But it's the world that I inhabit, and it's the place where I feel comfortable doing yeah. such a show. And then I decided to make a recording of the show, and that's what's in your hands. As far as a follow-up to it, I don't know. I'm going to be talking to a few people and try to see what makes sense. I love performing, and I hope to do more of it live. But, you know, it is tough. If you're not going out on tour and you're not playing little venues all over the country, then that means you're staying put. And when you're staying put, I mean, I have a limited audience. There might be a couple of hundred people who, over several performances, will come to hear me play, but there aren't several thousand. And so after a while, I have to admit to myself that I do run out of audience, and you can't, you know, nobody wants to play to an empty room.
Believe me, I do that every Saturday afternoon when I hold services. Sometimes I have to pull a janitor in. I say, please listen to me pray, you know. And, it's tempting. I almost want to take an axe and cut him into 10 pieces so I have a minion. Yeah. That's a little Jewish reference there. We've been talking to the delightful Tom Toast, the songwriter. Go to TomToastMusic.com for more information about him. Tom, T-O-C-E, TomToastMusic.com. Anything else going on in your life away from the musical field? How's life in general? Are you married? Do you have kids? What's the deal?
I am married, and my wife Liz, my wife, the long-suffering Liz, Portland is, she's great, and it's part of the reason that I'm happier, as I said before, happier than I've ever been. I have two wonderful daughters, Hannah and Julia, and Julia is a lawyer who is clerking right now for a judge up in Rochester, New York, and Hannah lives here in Manhattan and has blessed me with a grandson.
Oh, McMuffin!
He's coming over. Thank you.
Oh, that's a huge mazel tov. Congratulations a million times. Yay. Yeah, was this recently? Like the grandchild is new?
All grandchildren are new when you compare his age to mine. He'll be four.
Oh, okay. No, but it's not like last month she popped. We're talking about 4 years ago. Okay. Cool. Well, so it does sound like things are going really, really well, and I hope... only hope that they continue to do so for you, Tom Toast. I want to thank you very, very much for calling in and sharing with us. And we're going to play, I'm going to play a very, very funny song of yours called Better Than Rock and Roll. And it really does list your influences. It really does tell you the kind of music that you're listening to. So you have to listen closely to the lyrics of this man in this song. So once again, Tom Toast, much mazel, success in all your efforts, and especially with this new album, Songwriter in the House. Thanks for calling in, and shalom to you.
Shalom to you, Rabbi. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.